Welcome back to another episode of the Upper Mentality Podcast. My name is Taylor Staden. I'm the founder and lead consultant of Upper Mentality, and I'm very pleased to share an interview which was recently conducted over Instagram Live with Darcy Greenaway of One Gear Hockey.
We got Darcy. Darcy, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, buddy. Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's a pleasure. Okay, just going to set up here. It has been a minute since I've done an IG Live. These are really popular, and I think they got really popular in the heat of COVID.
I think so. Man, this is honestly my first one, so I'm pretty
excited. Oh, really?
I'm pretty pumped.
Awesome. Great. Awesome. Okay, so, sorry?
How are things going today?
I was trying my best to stay out of trouble here. That's my daily goal anyways. How about you, Darcy?
Good, buddy. Good. Had a couple morning skates today, so... they always start the day off right, so it was good.
Awesome. That's good to hear. Good. Okay, so we'll give everyone a few more minutes to get in here. While we do that, Darcy, when was your first junior camp? And who was it with?
I think it might have actually been here in Kingston with the Kingston Boys Yours.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, actually heading into my... This would have been my second year of junior eligibility. Mm-hmm. I tried out for the Kingston Voyageurs and the Wellington Dukes. Right. So those were the two main camps I got to. And cool experience, different experience. Really excited to chat with you today because I think a lot of the things we're going to talk about are things you go through when you head to a junior camp, but there are also things you go through heading into tryouts or a new spring team. You know, those new environments can be challenging. They're exciting, but there's definitely ways that you can help make them a better experience and just to sort of give you the best chance at performing to the best of your ability. So excited to chat about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like you were saying, there's a lot of nerves, there's some excitement going to these junior camps, these tryouts, these spring teams. And those are all normal, right? But there's going to be so many different challenges and different feelings that, if it's your first junior camp, maybe you haven't experienced that before. Maybe you don't know what it's like to have scouts in the stands or to, be around so many unfamiliar faces. Let's say you're trying out for a team out of your hometown or, whatever it might be. So I'm excited to get into that today. But Darcy, right off the bat here, what would you say are some would be some good things for players to just foundationally focus on when it comes to heading into junior camps?
I think some of them are the simplest things. I think everybody, in heading into those situations, like you just spoke about, like the new environment, new teammates, sometimes a new city. Sometimes you're traveling in from out of town. I think just going back to those simple things, and I think it's really natural for players to want to show up and impress, but that stuff takes care of itself. Mm-hmm. It really does. I think your talents shine through when you are taking care of your fundamentals, like little things like stopping on pucks. So I think a good rule to have in your head as a player, and this should be something we're always doing, and even in our skills sessions, we focus on this, is if you lose a puck in a drill, you go back and get it. It's in a game, you have one puck. So we have to treat the practices the same way. Mm-hmm. Stopping on pucks, communication, yelling for passes. I always say to the players I work with, if you get the chance to go watch an NHL practice, there's not going to be many people in the building, but you will not hear these guys shut up. They're always communicating. They're always talking. And that's the best way to play hockey, is because you know where your teammates are, you know what they're up to. And that's just, again, another thing that's simple, but, that when we do these things, they come together to allow us to do the big things, like make big plays, score big goals. But it's important we're working on those things first.
For sure. And one thing you said there, I think is so key too, is like, it's about what exactly do you focus on and what do you focus on? So the big things do, take care of themselves, right? Like, oftentimes when I work with players and I ask them, what do they want to accomplish? It's usually, I want to score more goals. I want to get points. I want to get noticed. And it's like, of course you do. Everyone wants those things. But it's like, if you had to boil it down, what do you actually have to do to make those things more likely to happen? Because we don't control if we score goals or if we get points, because if we did, we'd get a point on every play we make and we'd score a goal on every shot we take. It sounds nice, but
yeah,
it doesn't work that way, right? So, you know, I think to drive that success and help those big things get taken care of is really to focus on the things that don't really take any talent. And you alluded to it a bit there, but in your mind, what are some things that just take no talent that can really make a big difference at these junior camps?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, in just in terms of talking about wanting to score that big goal, who doesn't, yeah, right? But and even in a season, you play a ton of games. So to think that you're just going to score those big goals all the time, sometimes those shots don't go in. And, you know, making sure that you're taking care of your fundamentals is the most important thing, because, you know, when those things aren't going right, which is going to happen, it's inevitable, you're going to go through those games. You know, you can always rely on those fundamentals. You can always go back to them. And, you know, just, we spoke about a couple there, like stopping on pucks,
yeah,
you know, communication, just working hard. I think in one thing I always like to think of in heading into camps was just being assertive. You know, if there's one feeling that comes with these new situations is a little bit of apprehension, a little bit of, you know, the quicker you can be assertive, the quicker you can get into your game. And I think one thing with that is being the first on pucks. Like if you have a chance to, again, as a forward, maybe to beat a defense onto that puck and to get there first, get that. And that's going to give you some confidence. Moving your feet, like, again, sounds very simple, but if you do happen to get to that first puck, that D is going to immediately want to pin you. They want to hold you up against the boards, you know, squeeze that puck out and regain possession. If you're a forward that gets on that puck first and then you're constantly moving your feet, you're really hard to defend. You're hard to stop. You're hard to pin against the wall. You know, if you do, you know, if the D happens to, you know, maybe not get the puck, they might even take a penalty on you, right? So just those little things, again, these take zero talent, but they are hard work. I think just the things that take zero talent but are hardworking things to do can go a long way in getting you comfortable in those situations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, big thing there too is the commitment, right? And I know bit of backstory with me and Darcy, everybody. So me and Darcy originally connected because we both were doing keynotes at a gala recently for GK Hockey. And Darcy went first before me because it actually worked opposite way that night, where they saved the best for first. So they put Darcy first. And as I was listening to Darcy's message, I noticed, like, it was as if we were sharing notes. We're talking a lot of the same things. And one of the big things there that I noticed was we talked a lot about how you need to commit to showing up every day. You need to commit to showing up to every single play. And it's no different in your junior camps, right? Like, if you want to build that true confidence and you want to be your best, like, you have to accept that you're going to feel nervous, that other people might judge you, and that you might even be looked at for the wrong reasons out there because maybe you mess up. But unless you're willing to commit to doing what you need to do and commit to sticking to your game, then you'll never have a chance to succeed, right? Mm-hmm. So that commitment piece, it's easier said than done. But when you can constantly commit, like, that's really when you can build that true confidence.
Absolutely. Committing in those plays when you do get to junior camp, and it does start prior to that. You know, I think the best way to have confidence heading into those camps, those new situations, is knowing you're doing the right things, you know, knowing that you put in, you know, your few months of good work heading into this camp, that you are prepared, that you are in shape. You know, it's incredibly challenging to be confident if you haven't done those things. You know, the best way to be confident is to outwork any possible self-doubt that may arise. So I think, yeah, commitment is definitely a big aspect of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, with that self-doubt too and the commitment, it's like, it's not even that necessarily the commitment eliminates the self-doubt, but it's you just kind of accept that self-doubt might be there, accept that you might feel nervous, and you still commit to doing your job anyways. Now, on that note, though, There's so many things going on at junior camps, like we talked about, so many new faces and scouts and coaches and guest speakers, and there's just so many new people. On top of, the hard training and skates are going through the drills, meaning there's so many things you could focus on in a junior camp. But to commit, right, amongst all this, it's going to be important to also keep it simple and focus on what you can control. Now, what I do with a lot of my athletes is it comes from Saul Miller's work, Hockey Tough. You do this exercise called the ABCs, where you actually – just help a player understand what are the top three, maybe even four things that they need to highlight or do on any given night for them to be their best. And this goes back, it's not about scoring goals or points or anything. It's that recipe. It's those ingredients to your success. So maybe it's stopping on pucks like you've talked about. Maybe it's always moving your feet or finishing all your checks. Or if you're a goalie, it's just stay square to the puck or whatever it might be. But being able to just understand what your game is and just really focus on showcasing what you do really well, to me anyways, could only really serve you in junior camps, especially when, for the most part, they're just looking for role players at this point.
Absolutely. And again, I think it's so easy to think that those ingredients might be scoring goals. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I need to score goals, but it actually starts before that. And doing those other things can help you just gain the confidence to get settled in, mm-hmm. and then ultimately hockey's a game. And yeah, I think players are at their best when they are playing a game, when they're getting in the rhythm, they're doing their thing. They've done it their whole lives. But when you're presented with a new situation, sometimes it takes a little bit of attending to those fundamentals so you can find that headspace to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. And like, let's say off the top of your head, Darcy, when you think of fundamentals and maybe you think of like a third line energy player, like what are the absolute first fundamentals you think of when you think of like a really good third line grinder energy guy?
Yeah, well, you touched on it there again, making a good hit if you're getting it on the forecheck, mm-hmm. Not turning the puck over at blue lines. Those are the two most important zones, right? Like if you're on your way out, you want to make sure you're getting that puck out. If you're on your way into the zone, mm-hmm. you can't be turning the puck over there. Another simple one that kind of just popped into my head here was on faceoffs, be engaged. You yeah. are, keeping an eye on that ref's hand, and the moment that puck drops, you're ready to go, and you're acting, you're getting involved. I think those are a few things, especially like you said, as a player who may be looking for a position on a team as a role player. Mm-hmm. Especially as players coming into junior, that's how you can often find yourself a spot in the lineup.
Yeah.
If you're 16 years old, there's a good chance your team has a couple of players that are 2 or 3 years older than you that are going to be taking care of the offense. So if you can, find yourself in the lineup in one of those roles that's just taking care of business, making sure that you are not a vulnerability to the team's play overall. And again, that comes from things like that. Getting the puck in and out sometimes takes more talent than I'd like to admit, but it does. Those are tough spots sometimes.
Yeah.
But if you can be hard on pucks in those situations, and and again, if you're getting the puck in deep, getting those feet moving and causing pressure, causing havoc. So yeah, I think those are a few of the things we can touch on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And for anyone watching, please do take notes, or if you have your ABCs, drop them in the comments right now. We'd love to hear where your ABCs are, or if you have any questions as we do go along. Now, I wanted to take a step back here, though, Darcy, and kind of go back to that commitment piece, because it ties into something I think is really important. Is, when I talk to a lot of players who are going into junior camps just over the years, a lot of it is like, oh, I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to mess up. But it's like, if you go into camp worrying about making mistakes and say, I can't make mistakes today, you're going to be more likely to make mistakes. You're just setting yourself up for failure there. So I'd love to hear your thoughts here. To me, it's like we need to give ourselves permission to make mistakes, permission to mess up. And if you mess up, so what? You just keep working and get right back into the play, because mistakes are going to happen. It's like, but who responds to those really, really well versus who has like bad body language or just gives up? What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. Like, hockey's not a perfect game. And I think, you know, especially as you get to the higher levels, the teams who make the fewest mistakes end up winning usually. But it is something that you can't dwell on if you do make those mistakes, because they will happen. And the quicker you can bounce back, the better off you're going to be. But it's tough to do, you know, especially like I said, when we're talking about commitment, a lot of these players, you put in a lot of time to get yourself ready to, get yourself ready to perform to the best of your ability. So when things maybe don't go that well, it's hard on you, right? Like you know, for example, like if you don't get a puck out and then the team scores on you, you know, as I was saying, a winger in that position, man, that's a tough one to swallow. That's a tough one to come back to that bench and say, hey, you know, so the quicker you can shake that off, the better. And I think just even acknowledging that those mistakes may happen is a really good thing. You know, one thing we discussed a couple times was the proactive approach to the mental side of hockey. Yeah. I think if you can just accept, okay, these things are going to happen, I understand they will happen, then when they do, you're going to be able to deal with them in a much better way. But it is important that every player knows, like, hey, when those mistakes happen, the quicker you can bounce back, the better off you're going to be. So definitely another important point there is, like, just get those mistakes are going to happen, so make sure you're going to get past them quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And preparing to make mistakes, it sounds a little counterintuitive in a way. Like preparing
it does, to make mistakes, it does, yeah.
But I saw this really good analogy. I'm not sure where I saw it, but essentially, like, our brain likes to kind of predict what's going to happen. It's one of the reasons why we get anxiety. And so if we just say to our brain and prime our brain and our mind and say, okay, like, I'm not going to make mistakes today. Things are going to be perfect. And guess what? The moment you make a mistake or something doesn't go your way, the sirens start to go off, right? Because your brain and your mind thinking, this wasn't supposed to happen. Is there something wrong? Is there a threat? And you freak out. So if any players on this live right now, if you visualize pregame, if you do imagery, I would even encourage you, mix in a few scenarios in there where you do mess up. You predict some things that could go wrong. Then that way, if you do find yourself in that situation, it actually becomes that much easier for you to not necessarily react to it, but actually respond to it, because you're prepared for those tough challenges.
I like that a lot. I think visualization is something I talked about with the players a little bit.
Oh yeah.
I think if you can just focus or see yourself performing in the way that you want to, and, you know, I try and pick out specific plays, like whether it's defense I work with quite closely. I say, okay, picture getting those shots through from the point. Picture those holes. Picture you finding those holes. Picture yourself making a great play on the breakout. But that's actually the first time I've even thought about that, was to think, okay, think about those mistakes too. You know, picture those and then picture how you're going to respond to them. I think that's just a great tool for players to have. I think that's great.
For sure. And again, I know it does sound counterintuitive, like
preparing
to make mistakes, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to try it either. You know, maybe it doesn't work for some players, but you know, from my experiences working with athletes, it does help. So yeah. Now, anybody in the chat right now, if anyone has any questions, you want to drop comments, please do. I'm not sure if I missed any as we're going along. I don't see any. Okay.
Well, Taylor, I'd love to hear a little about, I know you were recently up in Cobourg, right? Did I see that over the weekend?
Yeah. I did a workshop at the Cobourg Cougars OJHL camp this past weekend. Yeah. Nice.
That, they've done a great job with that organization over the last couple of years. I think when I played against them, it was the really old rink in Cobourg. Like, it was small, dark. They got that new rink now. Seems like the team's done pretty well in the last couple of years. But I'd love to hear a little bit about what you would speak to, what you'd say to a group like that. Like, I saw a couple of pictures of there's guys like talking to one another after you'd spoken. And I mean, to get a group of 16 to 18 year old young guys to kind of really, that don't know each other, to start communicating like that, I think is cool. Like, what's something that you would say to those guys?
Well, it's a good question. I think anytime you talk to a group of, whether it's junior hockey players or aspiring junior hockey players, You have to just really understand where are their minds at? What do they want to hear today? How will they benefit? Because attention is a currency these days, and so you want to make sure you can grab that attention when you can. But it goes back to the whole idea of how your path in hockey is not going to be linear, right? You're going to have challenges. You're going to have hardships. You're going to have your ups and downs. The analogy I've been getting recently, I know you heard it at the gala, was you play NHL 23 and do PA Pro mode, and it's like, I don't know how it is now. I haven't played in a while. When I played, it was like, you get dropped in the Memorial Cup, you score like 10 points in 4 games or whatever it is, you get drafted first overall, you win the cup, whole nine yards. But for so many players, it doesn't work out that way. You're gonna get injured. You're gonna have coaches who you feel like maybe don't treat you fairly, odds are. You might have times where you're not getting the ice time you feel you deserve. But it's like you have to accept and embrace the fact that those challenges are not going away, especially when you aspire to do something great and amazing, right? Like you can't have aspirations of playing in the NHL and just expect everything's gonna be easy. Because if it was, then everybody would be in the NHL, right? Everyone would be a great producer in junior or college or the OHL or whatever it might be. But I think what's challenging though is that so many players just hope or think it's going to be easy, and then the moment things are hard, it's just like a big reality check, and they don't exactly know how to handle it.
That handling that adversity is a big part of it. Like it's such an important part of the game. You're gonna run into it everywhere you go. And I think one approach that could help with it is just, again, accepting it's gonna happen and understanding that these might be the moments that make you grow more than anything. You're gonna grow more from that adversity than you are from just smooth sailing all the way. Those are some of the things I think. Just looking at it as a positive and a From a positive perspective, and saying, "Okay, here it is. Here's what I got to do," and communicating is important as well, especially with coaches. Say you are in a situation where you're not getting the ice time you think you deserve. Is speaking to your coach and saying, "Hey, like, what do you need to see from me for me to be in this position? Say I'm on the third, fourth line right now. I'd like to be a top six player. I want to be in those top two lines. Like, what do you need to see more from me?" And then when the coach, they'll tell you that they have those answers. Go do it. Go work on your game to do those things. So, communicating, but again, just like recognizing that it might not be easy, but those are the things that are going to make you better. And when adversity comes around the next time, it'll be a good thing for you to have already gone through it once,
Yeah,
twice.
for sure. For sure. And on that topic of roles too, maybe players who are unhappy with their roles and they want to move up. One suggestion I'd have personally is whatever, no matter where you're at, you have to just be an absolute rock star in your role. Because you think of so many opportunities. Recently, even things like Matthew Nyes with the Leafs. He was scratched game one. Bunting gets suspended, and he's prepared for that opportunity to get solid in the top six. Like, you never know when your opportunity is going to come, and your opportunities may very well be limited. So whenever they do come, you want to really be prepared for it. Or, because if you're not, someone else is, and they're going to be the ones having all the fun.
Absolutely. And I think particularly in those situations, like I mean, getting to that level where you just dropped into an NHL playoff game, that's another reason I really love this, the proactive approach to your mindset. I think the physical side is something we've talked about for a lot longer, and to have that proactive approach and that those tools for when you do get in those situations that are challenging is so important. I mean, I'm sure Matthew Nyes had his head on straight. He was ready to go, stepped into that role, and did a great job. So it's but again, really executing, being a rock star in your role is super important as well. I think if you look at any team that succeeds deep into the playoffs, everybody kind of has their role, and you know what to expect from them, and their teammates know what to expect from them. So really executing in what you do well is another thing that's really important.
Absolutely. And so we just got a question here. Susie, yeah, there will be a replay. We'll post it on Instagram, as well as it'll be post as a podcast later as well. So I'll send you a link when we're all wrapped up so you can listen, Susie. Now, Darcy, I got to ask, when you were playing junior, what was your favorite way to mentally prepare for games?
A little bit of visualization. So, you know what? I was a little more superstitious than I would have liked to be. So I think if I was, if I had played well, I'd kind of take a little bit from what I did in those games. But I think looking back, I'd taken a more consistent approach might have been a little bit of a better thing for me. I was always pretty loose in the dressing room, liked having fun with the guys, just kind of like get some good music on, mess around with the guys a little bit, just kind of stay loose and keep things light, especially for big games. I found to be someone that was a little bit lighter in the room when things got a little bit intense was something I definitely tried to do, but also enjoyed doing. I think those are some of the funnest times, is feeling those nerves with your teammates and heading out and going and doing your thing together. Like just when you do that, by the time you're in the OHL, sometimes it's three times a week. You're basically you're doing it all the time. So to do that, you get very close to your teammates. So I think it's a ton of fun to go through those things together. And everyone's got their different approach too, right? Some guys would be a little more quiet and teach their own. But for me, it was mainly about staying loose and kind of being a little bit of a looser guy in the dressing room.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Good. And you know what? One thing particular there too, you're saying how you're feeling those nerves ahead of those big games, and you know, ahead of these junior tryouts too, you should be feeling those nerves, right? You should be nervous. It just means you care, and it means something. You got potential to do something great, right? And so one thing too, I will say, anyone on this live who's going into junior camps or tryouts, don't feel bad if you're nervous, right? Like you should feel nervous. It's okay. But one of the big difference makers there is, like, do you look at your nerves as a bad thing, or do you look at your nerves as an opportunity, something that can help drive you and help you have, you know, a little extra wind or move your feet a little more? Because that's the big difference between feeling nervous and feeling excited, because the same feeling in your body, right? If anyone here, you think back to when you feel excited versus nervous, it feels pretty similar, but it's the label you put on it is what matters. So if you look at it as a bad thing, it's going to be negative. If you look at it as an opportunity, more likely to be positive, kind of. Now, I saw we got a question here. How do you deal with politics allowing a lot of players to play over players that are actually better but aren't part of that inner circle? That's a tough question. I have to know a little more about it.
Every situation is different, but I think it all goes back to focusing on you and what you can control. You know, if you think there are things that aren't they're outside of your control, you're better off just not worrying about them and focusing on what you can control. Mm-hmm. And every minute spent focusing on anything outside of what you can control is a minute spent not focusing on what you can control. Mm-hmm. Really. So I think it really just goes back to that. And but just back to what you said quickly there, Taylor, about approaching things with a positive mindset. Okay. Any challenge or adversity that you run into, I think that's such an important thing. It's just, okay, here's what I'm facing, being aware of it, and then just why is this going to be a good thing for me? What can I do to make this a positive situation? And I think is so important, because those tough moments are going to come up.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. And like, whenever you're trying to do something great, they're not going to go away. They're only going to get tougher. So being able to lean into them and just to take it head on and do what you can. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this a lot, focus on what you can control, trying your best to stay positive, just things that'll, you know, serve you more than they just serve you. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, just as kind of like towards the end of this, Darcy, I think it's been a really, really good conversation today. I think we've talked about, you know, just the importance of, you know, really being present in tryouts, right? Like focusing on what you can control, understanding how to highlight your game and what exactly to focus on is really important. As well as like how, you know, we talk about, you know, making simple plays, and, you know, the more you focus on the little things, you can build up that confidence, and the bigger things tend to follow. Now, if you had one thing that we talked about today that you really, really wanted anyone listening today to take away as they head into their junior camps, what would it be?
I think you touched on it a little bit there, and there is one I want to add. Well, so we talked about
Sure.
stopping on pucks. And again, this is a little more for the forwards, but even D in certain battles, staying on the defensive side of the puck, especially if you're an offensive player. This means basically for anybody that hasn't heard that term before, if there's a puck battle along the boards, some players, when they're looking for a goal, they're on the offensive side of that puck. And this is something I ran into a lot and found, especially when I wasn't scoring goals, was okay, I might start to cheat a little bit and kind of get away from my defensive responsibilities. But focusing on those, and when I came around and did those things, I'd find my way out of a slump. So again, just these things that you can control that do take a little bit less talent than maybe making a big play, but they're not easy by any means. I think just making the right call by, again, stopping on pucks, communicating with your teammates, being on the defensive side of the puck, competing, but just all of those things that take hard work, but don't take any talent, because the things that you are talented at will come through, and they will show through.
For sure. Just focusing on, what you can't control and working hard and compete. I love that word. I love the word compete. Like, I've never ever heard a coach say that player is too competitive for our team or that player is too hard a worker for our team. Like, it just doesn't happen. So, when you focus on having high compete, working hard, on what you can control, you'll be in a better position. Right. It's tough not to be. So
100%.
that's awesome. Appreciate that. Darcy, do you want to tell us everyone a bit about One Gear Hockey and what you do?
Yeah, sure. I guess we wrap things up here. I guess for anybody that doesn't know, One Gear Hockey is a skill development program. So the way we like to do things is really teach players game transferable skills, put them in those game situations, and really show them where they can use these skills. So repetition is important, technique is important, that we're always working on those things. But really showing them where those skills can be used is something that's important. So based out of the Kingston area, been really fortunate to work with a lot of the great organizations around here. So a lot of great players I'm working with too. So it's really fun to work with these players. I think and a little bit of background playing, like, I played in the OHL in Kingston 2011 to 2014, then played U Sports at Queen's University. So a little bit removed from the player side of the game. So it's been really a great experience to get back involved and working with the players.
That's awesome. Good. And thank you, Darcy. And everyone, a bit about me. I run a company called Upper Mentality, where, if you ever yourself, some and maybe they lack confidence, which makes them hesitate and not stick to their game, or you're having trouble focusing or getting out of scoring slumps. I help equip players with the tools so they can get their game back on track, build up that confidence, and ultimately work towards being the most consistent competitive athlete they can be. So, man, I do a lot of work in hockey, but I work outside of hockey as well. So.
Which is incredibly important, I think, for all athletes, that proactive approach to their mindset is one of the best tools you can have right now. So I appreciate taking the time to chat, Taylor. I think this was great. And players, if you guys have any questions, please give us a shout. We're always happy to chat.
Awesome.
And that wraps it up for today's interview with Darcy Greenaway of One Gear Hockey. Be sure to check him out at www.onegearhockey.com, or you can find him on social media at One Gear Hockey. And as well, if anyone out there is interested in learning more about possible mental training options so you can start getting the results you want to get and take your game to that next level, feel free to reach out to me. It can be done at www.uppermentality.ca. Or you can reach out to me on social media at Taylor Staden. And all this information is just in the description of the podcast for both myself as well as Darcy. So right there for easy access. Anyways, now have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you in the next episode.